from WILL's Illinois newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It's Monday, April 17th. Coming up, Mary Dixon and Dave McKinney break down the latest in the ComEd bribery trial, now that one of the defendants is taking the stand in her own defense. That conversation in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Illinois Congresswoman Nikki Budzinski says recent court rulings curtailing the use of the so-called abortion pill shows continued overreach by abortion opponents. Budzinski called the restrictions on the drug mifepristone part of an assault on a woman's right to make her own choices about her body. The Springfield Democrat said she would fight to protect the Food and Drug Administration's long-established ruling that the drug was safe to use.
It's why I've co-sponsored legislation to protect a woman's right to have access to this medication. I've also co-sponsored legislation that would protect, at the federal level, a woman's right to choose, basically rolling back at the federal level the Dobbs decision, which eliminated 50 years of precedent that Roe versus Wade had established.
Mifepristone was the subject of two federal court rulings last week, one blocking its usage and one defending it. An appeals court ruling this week allowed the drug's continued use for abortions, but blocked recent FDA rulings expanding access. Budzinski says she's joined more than 200 members of Congress in signing an amicus brief in the case, which could eventually end up before the U.S. Supreme Court. It's been over 7 years since Farmer City in DeWitt County has had a grocery store. As Illinois Newsroom's Farah Anderson reports, residents are trying to change that.
Grocery shopping usually takes half a day for Laura Inger. That's because she has to drive to Champaign or Bloomington. Inger is working to open a cooperative grocery store where local producers can sell their goods.
It's kind of this whole sense of community or culture thing that I'm really excited about that this could actually have the potential to do, because grocery stores kind of do that. I mean, once a town loses its grocery store, the heart of it sort of dies, I think.
The community would be member owners in the cooperative. Inger says they are still very early in the process, adding that a steering committee is already holding meetings and working on securing a location. I'm Farah Anderson, Illinois Newsroom.
Officials are vowing to find ways to ensure next year's Democratic National Convention benefits neighborhoods across Chicago. Tessa Weinberg reports.
Mayor-elect Brendan Johnson says the diversity of Chicago's 77 neighborhoods is part of what makes the city ideal to host the 2024 convention that'll take place at the United Center.
The United Center is on the west side of Chicago, by the way. A lot of good things coming out of the west side.
Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison says the DNC will be exploring how to work with community organizations as well.
This is a convention not just in the United Center, but it's a convention that is all over the city of Chicago, but the state of Illinois and the Midwest as well.
The convention will take place in August 2024. Tessa Weinberg, WBEZ News.
Women of color are 6 times more likely to die from pregnancy-related issues than white women, according to the Illinois Department of Public Health. Margarita Tehran Garcia is the assistant dean and program leader of Integrated Health Disparities with the University of Illinois Extension. She told The 21st Show why these deaths may be more common among Hispanic and Latino communities.
There are not enough providers that can support those women, and less providers that are bilingual or provide translation services. And those are very important limitations.
She says these communities don't even seek prenatal care for fear of being deported. Still to come, we'll break down the latest in the ComEd bribery trial now that one of the defendants is taking the stand in her own defense. That conversation between Mary Dixon and Dave McKinney is coming up next on 217 Today.
In the third season of the masterpiece Regency drama Sanditon, our heroine, Charlotte Haywood, returns to her resort town with a new fiancé in tow. But life gets a bit complicated when she meets up with an old flame. This hit drama is based on Jane Austen's last incomplete novel. The final season of Sanditon is full of more adventures, scandals, intrigue, and above all else, romance. You can stream every episode now as a friend of WILL. Learn more at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Owen Henderson. It was a dramatic week of twists and turns in the ComEd bribery trial. One of the four defendants accused of bribing former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan has begun her testimony in her own defense and is due back on the stand today. Dave McKinney covers Illinois politics and has been covering this trial. He spoke with Mary Dixon about the latest.
Good morning, Dave.
Hey, Mary, how are you?
I'm fine. Are you ready for week six of this trial?
You know, I'm going to be ready whether I want to be or not. And it's sort of like watching a movie over there. And you know, I feel like I need to bring some popcorn.
Well, let's pick up where things left off when jurors went home for the weekend. They were hearing testimony from one of the four ComEd defendants. Who is Ann Promaggiore?
Well, so Ann Promaggiore is ComEd's former CEO. And once she got at ComEd, she ultimately climbed at the top of the food chain there. And while at ComEd, one of her calling cards was that she had a series of big legislative wins in Springfield that brought ComEd back from the brink of bankruptcy.
Why is Promaggiore on trial?
Well, Mary, prosecutors say that Promaggiore and her three co-defendants, who were all ComEd lobbyists, they were part of the scheme to boost ComEd's legislative fortunes in Springfield. And the way they did that was that they allegedly doled out jobs and favors to Madigan. These jobs, they ran the gamut from, you know, summer interns all the way up to the boardroom. And, you know, I went back and I counted. The feds rested their case midweek, and they played basically 145 secret recordings, a mountain of evidence. And there's one recording that we're going to hear now involving Promaggiore relaying word to Michael McLean, one of her co-defendants, that she had successfully engineered the appointment of a Madigan-backed candidate for a spot on the ComEd board.
You take good care of me, and so does our friend, and I will do the best that I can to take care of you.
If you picked up on Promaggiore's reference to our friend, that's mm-hmm. code language that she and McLean would use frequently to discuss Madigan. That was his nickname.
So now that Promaggiore has taken the stand, what does she say that all this was about?
Well, so Promaggiore is unusual at this point in that she's the only one of the four defendants who has made any sort of public commitment toward testifying on her own behalf. And in short, you know, it's not surprising. She says she didn't do any of the crimes that she's accused of doing. She never bribed Madigan. She basically said that he and she had a friendly, respectful relationship, that he wasn't an ally of the company. And the last question that her lawyer during questioning on Thursday left jurors with as they headed into the weekend was whether or not Madigan ever said that, you know, hey, because you hire my people, I'll help you with legislation. And she said, no, he never told me that. So that was the thought that she left with them. You know, I would say that so far, in the roughly hour we have heard from her so far, she has presented a very polished image of herself. That's just kind of the person she is, talking directly to jurors. So she's giving this side of herself a softer side than what we've seen in the criminal indictment and in the case the prosecutors have presented so far.
Of course, the subtext and the context here is really all about the former Illinois House Speaker Michael Madigan. And you've covered Madigan in Springfield for decades, Dave. So what are we learning about Madigan's political organization from this trial?
Well, you're making me feel old there with that line about the decades. But remember, Promaggiore is at the top of this food chain, and the trial has focused on these ghost subcontractors that are tied to Madigan. So a lot of these requests were being funneled through her, allegedly. One of the contractors that is at issue here is a guy named Ed Moody. Now, most people don't know who this guy is, Ed Moody, but if you're in the world of politics, he is a big deal. He described himself on the stand as Madigan's number one precinct captain, and that meant a lot in Madigan world. Moody, when he was on the stand, detailed how Madigan and some of the defendants in this case, Mike McLean and fellow defendant Jade Doherty, how they engineered this contract that Moody held for 6 years that involved no work for ComEd. And over again, Moody said that he didn't think he had to do any work for this money, that instead he thought it was recognition from Madigan for all the fine work that he was doing knocking on doors in the 13th Ward.
Uh-huh. Okay. To be continued, Dave McKinney, WBEZ's Illinois politics reporter. Thanks for the update.
Mary, thanks.
This is WBEZ.
And finally, in your forecast, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says it will be partly cloudy and breezy with a high of 50 degrees. That's it for today. 217 Today is produced by Sydney Wood. Reporting today contributed by Jim Meadows, Farah Anderson, Tessa Weinberg, May Antar, and Dave McKinney. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Owen Henderson. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.